If you've got a church Bible in front of you, please would you turn back to Luke chapter 1, verses 68 to 79. It's page 1027. And while you're doing that, I'd like to ask you to think about the earliest thing that you remember, your very earliest memory. I have a friend whose earliest memory was walking down the street with his mum. And while he was doing that, he saw a steam road roller. This is before the time of diesel engines and things. So it was a steam road roller. He was fascinated to watch it as it was flattening part of the road. And suddenly, everything and everyone stopped. It was stunning. One moment, great noise, clanking, lots of activity, and then that cessation, great peace. Everyone was stopping for the 2 minute silence. The silence of remembrance, remarking that end of shelling in 1918. The guns fell silent, silence that must have been just as stunning, perhaps, and even more welcome. It's good that we still have silence to remember. It's good when we see the war graves and how well they're looked after. That we have war memorials with lists of names of those who died. Sometimes many from the same family. Families who've lost fathers, sons, brothers. It's good that there are hospitals where people are cared for who've been injured during wars and conflict. It's good that we remember the sacrifice of so many. And we remember with sorrow for lives lost, for those injured. We regret that although we have these silences and we remember the dreadful, wasteful wars, wars still continue with appalling loss of life, loss of homes and towns, cities destroyed. What an appalling waste. And yet we're grateful for those who were willing to stand and fall to prevent the takeover by tyrants, to stop injustice, to maintain the rule of law and democracy and freedom, to remember them with sorrow, but also with gratitude. We remember them as fighting for justice, for peace, even at the cost of their lives, and we will remember them. I'd like us this morning to think about what God remembers. What God remembers, and because he remembers, he has acted and does. In the reading which we had, which you can follow on page 1027 in the Church Bibles, we can see what God remembers, and as a result of that, what he does. It's there in verse 72. To show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. God remembers the promise that he made, the promise he keeps. It's the promise God made many years ago to Abraham, to bless him, and through him, and through his offspring, to bless all nations. Promises that are recorded in the Bible. He promised that he would be our God and that we would be his people and that through Abraham's family he would bless us. God keeps his promises. They're not empty promises, but something that he has done something about. And this passage tells us about that. But it also has something to say about enemies and hate. Look at verse 71. His promise is to bring salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, so enemies and hate, salvation from them. This prophecy was made at the birth of John the Baptist during the Roman occupation of Jerusalem. We might think that the rescue spoken about is political or military, dealing with bondage from a foreign oppressor. But it isn't. In fact, it's spiritual, about being rescued from enemies such as sin and death, the grave, hell, and all the hosts of evil. We can see this in the language that's being used. Look at verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. Redemption, paying the price to save from slavery. And then verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. A horn representing strength or power, knocking out or scattering enemies. And this horn is referring to Jesus, the son of David, who was born to bring salvation, saving us from our sins by sacrificing himself and dying on the cross in our place. He paid the price for us. We've remembered his death in the communion service that we've shared in already today. We proclaim his death until he comes. Jesus rescues us from the hand of our enemies, the enemies being sin and death, bringing life to all those who turn to him. This is far more important than political or military freedom. John was going to go and get everyone ready for Jesus, and that's what Zechariah is talking about, Jesus the rescuer. So there on in verse 77, we see that he's going to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And in verse 79, it's going to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace, to shine and to guide. God keeps his promise. He can be trusted. And for each one of us who trust him and turns to him for forgiveness, he forgives us in Jesus' name. He gives us eternal life. He gives us purpose and something to live for. Jesus gives us peace with God and fills us with love and joy. He enables us to serve him. So God remembers, and therefore he acts. He does. I'd like us to think about perhaps what we should do. One of the things that can happen as a result of the freedoms we've been given, freedoms that have been won through world wars and through all that Jesus has done for us, is to do nothing, to feel at liberty to please ourselves. Some cannot be bothered, they're just looking out for number one. But are there not things that we should do apart from remembering those who died on Remembrance Day and Remembrance Sunday? Don't we have a duty to maintain our democracy? Shouldn't we help hold community together, to help build stable families and communities around where we are? If we don't bother to get involved, if we're not helping to make sure things continue, and we leave everything to everyone else, might they not do the same? There's a danger things will unravel. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil in the world is that good people do nothing. Those we remember died fighting for our democracy, for our freedom. should we not be involved in upholding that? Always voting, always considering how best to cast our vote locally and nationally, not just to suit ourselves, but voting and working for those we think are best for our country and our community. We should support local community and local life. So is there something we can be doing, we can be involved in to help keep running? Can we not help those who need help? We should not be disengaged or leaving it to everyone else. By helping keeping things running, by contributing to the community, we can best recall those we remember today. We should also respond to God's promise. Do you consider yourself to be one of God's people? Just have a look back at the passage, verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. Verse 69, he's raised up a horn of salvation for us. Verse 77, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So are you one of God's people? Before Jesus was born, Joseph was told, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. We're about to sing again. One of the verses is this: when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. John the Baptist, as he was baptizing at the crowds by the River Jordan, looked up and saw Jesus approaching. And do you remember what he said? He said, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you one of God's people? Are you one who has had their sins forgiven, now part of the family of God, serving God without fear and ready for his return? So let us remember all that God has done for us and live in a way that is pleasing to him, loving God and loving our neighbour.